I solemnly swear that I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing.
All right, everybody, Ronnie here from the Truth About Addiction. Welcome to another show. Today's guest is known as Verbalize, a hip hop artist, and a young fellow that I follow on his music a little bit, and I like some of the stuff he does. And yeah, so anyway, I hand over to you. What's your story, brother?
My story?
At the beginning.
My dad separated from my mum when I was like 3. Didn't see him a lot of my life. So I just pretty much stayed with my mum. My 2 brothers are older, so they were out doing their own thing. One of my brothers got into life of drugs. Still struggling now with that. I still deal with that on a daily basis kind of thing. He's a lot better than he was, but he's still struggling. Yeah, basically just live with my mum, just grew up, was very sheltered to the age of about 15. I think it was about 14, 15. I wanted to go live with my dad. And then, my dad ended up committing suicide when I was 16. Wow. Up in country. I was actually going to school about an hour and a half away in Kanama. I don't know if you know where Kanama is.
No.
Yeah, so I lost my dad when I was like 15, suicide. Was in shock really, it didn't really hit me much. Still hasn't really hit me now, but the older I'm getting, it's starting to hit me. And I ended up going into a school of isolated distance education art program to just cope with the grief and that. My teachers put me in there. And then pretty much lived with his partner for a year, raised my little sister. It was 2 at the time. She's now 16. I haven't seen her since. Heaps of, heaps of troubles and dramas happened over his funeral and the money and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of seen that firsthand when I was young. And then when I was 16 or 17, I got a message from my mum and she was trying to overdose on pills and that. And luckily, we got to her in time. Yeah, when all that happened, one of my dad's missus friends told me to start drawing. So she gave me like a notepad to start drawing that in. So I was drawing for a while, designing tattoos and doing all sorts of drawing. Like I was really good at it. And then the drawing just slowly led to poetry, which I think I got from my dad because he'd done a bit of poetry. And then kind of just was writing songs, but not really of any meaning, like just more rhyming stuff, putting stuff together in bars and on trays and stuff. And then I started writing stuff from like third person perspective and just looking at my surroundings and the way I grew up. And yeah, I'm pretty much where I am now, just still making music, helping people that need help. Got into a lot of drugs. A lot of alcohol, just anything to numb myself, really. No, there's a lot more of the story.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, that's just like the gist of it. So basically, music saved my life. And I still use it now. I still have a lot of people inbox me, like I push that message, help others that, live the same as me or been in the same positions as me or asking me for advice and stuff because I don't really know the secret to the advice when you're grieving, like there's something you deal with on your own, but that's pretty much why I make music. So I'm working on an album at the moment, which is my whole life. It's called Through My Eyes. It's halfway done. That should be done by the end of next year, probably the end of this year. And that's like tells the story from when I was young to now. Yeah, basically just ended up just taking anything to numb myself until I really went inside myself kind of thing and just started doing the inner healing from the inside out. I actually started my journey when I started reading a book by Joe Pazenza, whatever his name is. Yeah, I started reading his book called Becoming Supernatural and started doing a lot of breath work and just looking at how you can rewire your brain and your thinking and your thought patterns and train of thought and kind of just started healing myself from the inside out that way. And yeah, life's going pretty good at the moment. Just waiting on a message back from Rio Mining Company, a full-time job. I've been pushing for that for like 6 years now. I've been doing fly-in, fly-out. There's a lot to the story. There's a lot more to the story, but
That's right, brother.
I'm not sure what to share and not what to share, you know.
Yeah, good. So alcohol, that was your first drug, was it?
Yeah, alcohol, I was introduced to it at a young age. My mum was very bad with alcohol when we were younger and that. I always used to go get our cans and go get our alcohol and all that. So I was around it at a young age. Believe it or not, when I lost my dad, I became very sheltered. Didn't really party much, didn't do any of that. Like, didn't really get to grow up really till I was about 19, 20. And, started off with alcohol. And then ended up being marijuana, like just to hang with my brothers, so older. Just ended up being like another gateway. And then just started going on to the harder stuff.
What was your drug of choice, mate? Ice or heroin?
Ice.
Ice, yeah. Horrible fucking shit.
It was more like a, I don't know, when I take it, it was like a numb, like a block to tears, but it was also like being on it for a while, being on it for a long period of time, being a couple of days up and, you know, not sleeping and stuff. I also had a lot of time with myself where I'd self-reflect as well. Like, as much as I was reckless, there was always times where I would, almost like speak to my own soul kind of thing. Like, I would conversate with myself and, like, worked out a lot of what I needed to do to heal myself, basically when I was on drugs. I couldn't really do that work until I broke free from that, if that makes sense. But I knew what I had to do.
Yeah, 100%. And so you listen to Dr. Joe Potenzo, and he talks a lot about breath work, and he talks a lot about healing from him, because I believe it's an inside job. I don't think you have a drug problem.
Definitely.
You know, I say to everybody, you know, you don't have a thinking problem. You don't have a drinking problem, you have a thinking problem.
Yeah, it's a thinking problem. It's definitely a thought. It's the way your thoughts are. Like, when I used to take the drugs, it'd be like almost like a ritual. Like, I'd have them on my own, and I would either create something, draw or write something, or I'd just like my own space. Like, I'd sit with myself and just really feel what I needed to change inside, but couldn't because I had that grip. But so, yeah, he's taught me a lot.
Have you got Aboriginal in you?
Me? Aboriginal? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, cool. I thought so. I do a lot with the Aboriginal people up in Northern Territory and up in North Far North Queensland.
Yeah.
And I've sort of got a real connection with the Aboriginal community. You know, they call me Yapipi, which just means uncle, you know. And, I just felt that with you when I was talking to you about family and that. And, you know, it breaks my heart when I hear about suicide. Fuck, it just crushes me.
Yeah, at the age I'm at now, well, I'm 33 in a couple of days, and I lost my dad when I was 15, and I still, like, I've tried to study it and look into it, and, like, I still can't. I can understand why people take that choice, the easy choice, but then again, it's not easy, it's hard as well. But I've never really understood it. Like, I could never really understand it. Like, I've had bad days and I've had grey days. But my mind, I changed my mind to where, like, I know there's another brighter day coming kind of thing. Like, I could switch my mind. As bad as the states as I've been in and the come downs I've been on and everything like that, like, I can just, I don't know, I switch the way that my thinking is. Like, I've never really got that bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I just had a mate kill himself last week.
Yeah,
He'd been around recovery for 20 years and he just couldn't get it. He just kept on relapsing. He fucking hung himself, you know. And he's a guy 40-something years of age. At different times had a lot of money, just lost a lot. And then in the end, just hung himself. And it's like, fuck. So, you know, I'm the same as you. I don't understand it. I've thought about it. But I've never, you know, I would never do it because
I've definitely had the feelings and the thoughts and, like, but they're temporary, like, because I live next to where my mum is at the moment. Like, she's doing really well. And, I see her every day for a cup of teas and stuff like that. But, like, I see her and I couldn't leave anyone behind kind of thing because I know how it feels to be left behind.
Yeah.
100%. But I also think people that do it, they're not in their right frame of mind either.
Oh no, something happens, man. Something dark happens. Something that we will never relate to.
I reckon it's something spiritual. Like, I honestly reckon it's not possession, but I believe there's something spiritual to it, where like they're tormented or pushed. Because my dad was only 40 years old, and you know, this is the first time in my life I lived with him when he committed suicide, and he planned his death 2 weeks before he'd done it because he gassed himself in that, and he had the pipe on the driveway and he was telling me not to touch it and shit like that. And, like, I just didn't pick up on the small signs. Like, he'd take me to a job site and that, and he'd be like, this would be the last job I do. And when I was young, I didn't pick up on the signs. Mm. But he was trying to tell me, but I didn't pick up on it because I was so young. But now when I look back and I look at the signs, I can see, like, he was crying out for help. But he was also very fearless. I also believe that's another reason why people do it, because they're fearless. And they understand that, you know, death isn't a scary thing, you know what I mean? They understand that it's actually part of life and it is a beautiful thing. Like, they've understood that side where they're going.
So your music, my friend.
Yeah.
I listen to some of your stuff. I'm an old bastard, but I like hip-hop. I like that stuff. Do you know Greeley?
Yeah, I know Greeley, yeah.
Yeah, I've never met him, but... He's a slack ass. I tried to contact him a few times. He was supposed to come on the show. And I see him as Mad Child's in Australia at the moment. And I've sent him a message. You heard of Dax? You heard Dax's stuff?
Yeah, I heard of Dax. I did a, what was that song you done? The Man one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I done a remix to that for a competition about my dad, but he didn't end up seeing it.
Oh, wow, I'd like to hear that. I like the one I haven't seen. Sorry?
Have you heard my song I did with Flows?
No.
You know, do you know who Flows De Leone?
Nope, but I'll look at it when I finish with you.
It's called, I did two songs, so I did one called I Wish I Could, where I'm in the studio. And then,
that's my nickname.
Yeah, it's a crazy story, because Flows, when I was 15, I used to listen to him, and I always manifested, like, one day I'll be doing a song of him, you know what I mean? He's a really big artist, and he raps about real stuff, like doesn't sugarcoat nothing like me. And, something happened with him or something. He ended up in hospital. I can't remember what really happened, but something happened with him. He ended up in hospital, and I tagged him in my Instagram story, just tagged one of his songs or something. So the message that I sent him a year before, he ended up seeing. And then he started typing back to me, and I was like, what the hell? And I was with my cousin. I was like, he's typing back to me, bro. And he listened to my song, Wish I Could. And then, because he usually charges, like, a fair bit of money for a feature, and he sent back a message. He said, I want to remix this with free of charge. And then he wrote a 32-bar verse, like, one that was real deep. It's called I Wish I Could Remix of Flows on my channel on YouTube. And then I scrapped my whole verse that I had for the remix, and I rewrote another 32-bar verse, like probably one of the deepest verses I ever done, against his one, like I was talking back to him. And then, I went to studio, got it all mixed, and then I got my scenes filmed in Perth. He got his filmed at the hospital that he was at. Like, there's all his stomach cut open. And as I was saying, that song, I'll spit you some of the bars at the start if you want to hear them.
Go for it.
So to start, like, he done his verse, and then my start of mine was, I really felt those words, my brother, all the pain we've both been through. If it wasn't for the music, I'd be hanging from the closest noose. Truth is, though, my soul is black and my heart is broken too. Dad, I miss your face a lot. Please tell me what I'm supposed to do. Can you come and visit me and guide me in this life I live? I'm over being so afraid, been praying I didn't cry again. Stuck inside my darkest source, chasing where the silence is. I see you in the mirror, though, with your face and mine reflects. Guess it gives me comfort, though, knowing now that you're at peace. It's never gotten easier. I'm not the type that's good with grief. I take my life to speak to you. I'm thinking now how good it'd be. I can't leave mum behind just yet, so when I rise, come look for me. And then it's, that was like the start, how I was speaking back to him.
Yeah, nice. Cool. Really, I'll check it out. I'll get my missus to tag it. I'll get that in the podcast too, brother. So music to you, you reckon saved your life?
Yeah, 100%. if it wasn't for music, I'd either be not here anymore or I'd be in jail, because a lot of my family have done 20 plus years jail too. I see them, right. like most of them I've only ever spoke to over the phone, so.
In fact, the waste of life. Joe's like using heroin, man. It's just a waste of life. It does something to you. Prison does something to you that people don't understand. Unless you've done a long time, you don't understand the amount of damage it's done, you know. Like, I've done a long time.
And I'm lucky. I never went to prison.
Good.
It's a waste I think of that's life. mostly because I've seen a lot of family go, and like I've just learnt from watching and observing, and yeah, I like my freedom. I get bored easy.
Yeah, smart man learns from someone else's mistake. An idiot learns from his own.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, man, I'm so happy that, you know, you found something. For me, what I do now, talking to people, and I run a drug rehab, that's my passion. That's what saves my life.
That's awesome.
I love helping people, man, you know. My purpose is to carry a message that using drugs and crime is a waste of life.
Yeah.
And that's why I've got this little, I've got a dream of putting a hip-hop together. I've talked about this for a couple of years now. Putting a concert on, it's a drug-free concert with all the people that are in recovery, all the people that are drug-free, and put a concert on just for people that are drug-free.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a dream, man, and everything starts with a dream.
Yeah, definitely. When it comes to the suicide topic, I've lost like 20 mates in 3 years.
It's crazy.
And
crazy, isn't it?
A lot of them hung themselves and stuff like that, and a lot of them like were meant to catch up, and I still see their messages now where they were like, "We're gonna catch up," and then just life got in the way of things, and then they're gone.
I had a mate send me a message about 7 months ago, 8 months ago. Good mate. And he had a Centrelink shirt on, you know, and he had under the bottom, it said, "Living the dream." He was just mucking around. He was a multi-millionaire, and he said, "Living the life off the drugs. Life's fantastic." I got a phone call the next morning, he OD'd and died.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, man. That's why we've got no guarantees, you know what I mean? We've got no guarantees, brother. We've got to live every day like it's our last, and we've got to give more than we take. It's really important that we give more than we take.
100%, and also, we live and we die, but it's what you do in between that time that really matters.
Exactly.
Because you don't really, never have a long time on this earth.
Yeah, mate. No, but, no.
I don't know if you know what astral travel is or things like that.
Yeah, man.
But I've left my body 4 times before, and believe it or not, I've left my body and gone back to like 2008 with my dad, and he's just showed me things and like things he wanted me to see. And it's a lot. I can't really talk about much on here, but he just showed me lots of things, like, so I wouldn't be the blame kind of thing. Every time I come out of it, like when it first happened, I could hear like my brain wires, like they were like touching each other. I could hear like a zapping sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this thumping sound, like this real loud thumping in my head, like a migraine. And then, I was just walking down a road, and I was walking down a road in Eneabba. That's where my dad and me lived, just up near Lehman Green Headway. And I was walking down the street, and it was almost like I teleported. And, like, he showed me a few things and sat me down at a table in this white room and told me a few things and stuff. But, like, more the most I got out of it, not what he showed, it was more how he felt. I could feel how he was feeling in the spirit. And every time that I come out of this thing, it was getting written down. I was writing it down. And then it matched up to heaps of clairvoyance, clairaudience. And they told me that I'd left my body, like I was on the silver cord. And that I got taken in the spirit and left my body. But I literally went back to this house where he apparently took his life. And I was looking down in the house, but I thought it was a two-story house, but it wasn't. I was actually in the spirit looking down bird's eye view, like looking down at the scenario and what went down and all that sort of stuff. And I come back to my body 5 times, and I wrote it all down. And it was just crazy. Like, it all matched up with all the clairvoyance. I had my cards read by 2 people at once. It was just crazy.
Yeah, mate, but I also, I don't, I don't disbelieve anything. I'm not one of those people who go, oh, that's bullshit. I'm not that guy. I believe anything's possible, and I believe we know very little about it.
We're definitely a spiritual being, not a physical body. We can leave our bodies. We can go to the astral plane because I've been there. But I've also remote viewed as well. So, like, at night time, I've left my body and I've gone places like you can only dream of, kind of thing. And, like, to the point where I've seen these places and then I've typed them in Google to see where I went, and, like, these are real places in the world. So there's a way we can definitely, I wouldn't say it's ascending, but I'd say, like, we leave our body and we just go on journeys. Like, that's what dreaming is. But there's lucid dreaming as well. And I can differentiate the two. But, yeah, astral travel taught me a lot of things about myself. And also, when I was on the drugs a lot, if there was a mirror around, I did a lot of mirror gazing. And, like, when you mirror gaze, they say that you're staring at your own soul. And it can make you cry. It can make you emotional and stuff like that. But you're looking into your own soul, basically, they call it. And I used to do a lot of that. Like, I'd been up for nights on end on the drugs, but I'd be alone. I'd rather be on my own. And I'd have conversations with myself for hours. And, like, I'd always tell myself all the advice that I'd need to hear, but because I was so reckless as well, I'd never actually put it into fruition, you know, until the grip came off me. So I've got all the advice to give in the world to people that need my help, kind of thing. That's what I do every day. I just wake up to people that need help, make music to help people, because a lot of people need help. But we also have the answers inside of us too, though. We just haven't activated them. We just haven't activated them or opened them up yet.
Yeah, I agree. It's an inside job.
100%. And what Joe Dispenza, that's his name, Joe Dispenza, what he says, like, it's been helping me a hell of a lot, like, I want to eventually, after doing enough breath work, like, activate, you know, my pineal gland and decalcify my pineal gland and activate all the dopamines and all the antibodies and stuff, because it's all in us, but we're just dumbed down, basically.
That's what we are. We're dumbed down and we're medicated. We're dumbed down by the media and we're medicated by the system.
They call us sleepwalkers, but I'm awoke, like, since the age of 16, I think it was, I was gardening at this old lady's house, and I had my headphones in, I was listening to hip-hop, and I said, have you ever heard of this band? I was doing volunteer gardening, and she come over to me, and she took my headphone out, and she goes, are you ready for the New World Order? Which is what, you know, which is what's happening now, all that shit. And I said, what do you mean? I had no idea about any of it. And then she wrote down on a bit of paper, she wrote down some names, she wrote down Phil Schneider, who created all the underground military bases. She wrote down Colorado Denver Airport, and she wrote down a lot of, like, all the tunnel systems and that, this little old lady. And then I just went from there. So from the age of 16 to now, I've just gone down that rabbit hole. And so I'm kind of woke. Like, I know what's going on. I know where we are. I know there's more than this to the world. And I know there's more than this to us as human beings.
Yeah, nice. Cool bananas. All right, my friend, what's your purpose? What's your purpose in life?
Mine?
Yep.
To help others that need saving.
Yeah, good purpose. That's the perfect answer for me.
That's for my. That's what I believe I'm here. That's why I believe we're all here, but I believe a lot of people, their ego takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, greed takes over too. And I just believe... Ego. I believe it all goes round and round, so... the law of attraction, cause and effect, you know, the universe, I believe, karma.
Yep, it's what you get back. Well, that might have been the last one from Verbalize. His phone's been playing up and getting hot. So it's been an entertaining chat and nice to speak to him. I think the guy's doing good stuff and he's got an honest desire to help people, which is wonderful because at the end of the day, we all should be helping each other. Love thy neighbour, you know. I think they said something like that in the Bible. Not that I'm a Bible person, but I'm a spiritual person, and I believe there's a lot more to life than taking. If you're new or near new to our podcast is about helping the other people. We help the people who still suffer in and out of addiction. You don't have to be a drug addict to need help. You don't have to be a drug addict to have mental health issues. You know, mental health issues means you're bad thinking. You know, so I always say you have a thinking problem, not a drinking problem. So if you're having a problem with drug and alcohol or thinking problems, contact the Truth About Addiction. We'll do our best to help you. Thanks very much. Look, from the Truth About Addiction, thanks to Verbalize for his time. And I know it was a pretty hard thing for him to do because he was parked in a car. He had no reception. His phone was getting hot. Do you know what? Life goes on. Life's not perfect. So from Ron from the Truth About Addiction, thank you very much. And I really, really, really am grateful that you guys are here to listen to us. Thanks.
I solemnly swear that I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.